Good morning. We didn't change our clocks last night, did we, Kale? Good morning, everybody. What a joy it is to be together and worshiping God in this place. My name is Andrew Roberts, and it's my privilege to stand before you now and to share with you a study in the Word of God. I want to add my welcome to that which has been extended to the guests here today. As you're opening up the program and you're getting out the interactive outline to follow along in this study, don't forget that connection card. That's a wonderful tool so that we can know how we can serve you. And also there's information there about your next steps and your discipleship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's the first time for you at the Livingston Church, I want you to know that you're in the right place. You're with a group of people that love God. But I tell you, it's hard to love what you don't know. And so you're with a group of people who are serious about knowing the Word of God. We want to serve Him, please Him, bring glory to His name. He's done so much for us, and He is worthy. And if that's your heart, you want to know more about the Livingston Church. And we're glad that you're here. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. As you're finding there in your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I want to speak to you this morning on living with little leaks. Living with little leaks. I have had, as some of you know, real estate on my mind with this relocation to Florida. And Lord willing, we're going to be closing on a house tomorrow morning. But I had the joy of home ownership a few times before now. And the last house that we purchased about 3 years ago, shortly after we locked into the house, we discovered that the owner had been living with little leaks in their house for some time. Now, some of them we knew, okay? So you walk through the house and you say, you know, there's some water spots on some of the walls and a little bit of the ceiling. That shouldn't be there. And so we're going to need to get a roofer in here. We're going to have to patch that up. And we knew about that. And we got after that. And we got a roofer up there. Come to find out that a lot of the vents had been installed wrong. And that was the cause of all of these leaks. Okay. And so we're on that. But then once we're in the house, come to find out that the back doors of the house leaked. And they had not been installed properly, apparently, when the house had been built. And not only was water deteriorating over a period of time as rain blew in the door frames themselves and the threshold was rotten, all that had to be restored, but even into the kitchen floor. And a big section of the kitchen floor had to be cut out down to the subfloor and built back up because of this little leak. We learned that the plumbing in one of the bathtubs was not installed correctly. And so for 15 years or so, when someone took a shower, all right, there was water just leaking going down a wall to deteriorate a floor joist. I got underneath the house and I saw here's a rotten floor joist that has to be scabbed and it has to be repaired. And after we had done all of these repairs, I thought, okay, this house isn't going to leak anymore. My wife and I are in the master bathroom painting one day and water starts dripping from the ceiling of the master bath. And there was no upstairs bathroom. And I thought, did we miss one? Did we miss a hole in the roof? Oh, wait, no, it's a sunny day. There was an upstairs AC unit. And the drain was all messed up. Had to get another man out to come and fix that, repair that. We had to work on another ceiling. I tell you what, for the most part, we got that house back together. We shored it up. We got it repaired. But it took a lot of time. It took a lot of money. It took professionals to come and fix the leaks, but then to repair the house, restore all the damage, replace what had been deteriorated. And in the whole process, I'm not going to lie, I learned a whole lot about patience. Because I was driving around Spring Hill, Tennessee, mad at people I'd never met. Because they lived with little leaks in their house for the next homeowner to come along and to repair. It was a headache. In Ecclesiastes 10, I trust you're there, the Bible talks about a leaky house, particularly in verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. I want to think on this verse for a minute, and I want to take a spiritual lesson for us to consider. And our walk with the Lord, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk about living with little leaks. And the first question I want to ask, it's number one in your notes, how is it that people can live with little leaks? How do they do that? And Solomon begins to give us the answer, doesn't he? Because in verse 18, it says, because of laziness, the building decays. Idleness of hands, the house leaks. It is an attitude of laziness. It is taking things for granted and neglect that will bring a house to leak. And, sometimes we get feeling a little lazy, don't we? I have to confess that sometimes I do. I say, well, I'm tired and I'm busy all the time. And we can get tired. And we are busy all the time. I mean, those are true things. The idea of a day of a rest, of a Sabbath time, that's a good idea. We need that rest and rejuvenation. But if you learn that you have a little problem, a little issue, a little leak, and you say, I'm just too tired to fool with that right now, I'll get to that later. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And you keep putting it off because the truth is, we just don't feel like fixing it. You keep putting it off and making an excuse, but the truth is, you're just not going to do anything about it because you're lazy. You're going to get a big mess. And Solomon warns it's only a lazy fool that's going to let their house get into that kind of a mess. Of course, if it's not your mess, then the owner of the next house, right? It'll be his. But I think laziness is an attitude and a part of it. Ignorance is another issue, how people come to be living with little leaks. Some people don't know about them. I mean, you really might not know that the faucet in your master bath is installed wrong. And so, it's not till you're underneath your house in a crawl space for some other reason, you find this completely rotten floor joist, and you think, oh no, the tub could fall right through. But you didn't know. You didn't know, and so you allow that to perpetuate. Now, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want to know as soon as possible if you had something leaking in your home? Why, sure you would. Because until you know, you can't do anything about it. And until you know, the damage is only going to get worse. Some people live with little leaks because of self-deception. What I'm calling self-deception. They deceive themselves. I mean, we can talk ourselves into things all the time. We can talk our things out of things all the time. And we might learn that there's a little bit of leak or a little bit of water issue. And we say, well, yeah, but it's just a little. And so it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm living on a boat. If you have a little leak on a boat, well, that's a problem. This is a house. It's not like I'm down in a submarine. If we have a little leak in a submarine, well, that's a problem. But this is just a house. I'm in a house. So how bad could it be? We'll get to it later. We'll put it off. And we just don't recognize. The longer we put it off, the more destructive it becomes. And we're going to lie to ourselves. Little leak doesn't matter. It can really add up. Let me give you a fourth one. People live with little leaks sometimes because of distractions. Distractions. It's so easy to put that little leak off because something more urgent comes up. We're not talking about the flood. We're not talking about the day that you came home and you realized the dishwasher leaked. And here's a foot of water all across your kitchen floor. Can't ignore that, right? Or the day that the washing machine broke and it's dumping all this water into the washroom or all this water into the garage. Can't ignore that. We're not talking about the fire alarm going off in the house and there's smoke billowing out of the kitchen. You can't ignore that. That's urgent. But something that maybe just happens every once in a while when it rains. Well, then more urgent things come up and we get distracted and we forget about it. The pressing things must be attended to and we say, well, I'm going to get to it again, before it rains. But of course it rains. And I don't have to tell you in Florida, it'll rain again. It rains and we're living with little leaks. And so now you're living with a little leak or little leaks in your house. And I just want us to understand, as I was learning kind of the hard way, when people live with those little leaks, when they leave them alone for some time, do you understand what I'm saying? That when you discover there's a little problem, a little issue, it can be fixed pretty easily. It can be fixed pretty quickly. But you've got to go after it. You've got to be proactive and take care of it. Don't let the thing just ride. It's when you leave them alone. It's when you leave them alone that a tiny amount of damage compounds. And then what you have is, as Solomon told us, the building decays. Because of laziness, the building decays. It is through this idleness that the house leaks. And you're looking around a decayed building and now you want to fix it. And now it's a real problem. I can't believe what this has turned into. But guess what? Guess what? Initially, what was inexpensive, well, now it's really costly. Because you let it go for so long. And initially, what was irritating or troubling to repair, it's now a major, major issue. A serious, serious problem. And just what I'm wanting us to appreciate, we're going to get into some more Bible in just a second. Just appreciate that when you got a little leak, though there is some expense and there's some inconvenience and there's some discomfort, if we'll get to working on it quickly, it's absolutely worth it in the end. But if you let it go, it's much harder to repair. It takes more money, more time, far greater discomfort. It is costly when we go to fix it later. Let's make some spiritual application of this. And I want to ask you the question this morning. Is your house leaking? Is your house leaking? When you examine the house of your life, when you examine the house of your soul, are there some little leaks? And I just find this to be a powerful metaphor, maybe because of that lousy house, but I find it to be a powerful metaphor of how it is that people leave the Lord. A powerful metaphor for how it is people say, well, I've lost my faith. A very powerful metaphor for how it is that people come to ruin their health, or they've ruined a marriage, or they ruined their life. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the flood event. It's not the broken dishwasher that nobody could ignore that brought it all down. It's not the fire alarms that we said we got to get out of the house and nobody ignores it. It's not those big events. It was these little leaks that we let go and compound over time, over time, over time, that are devastating. Devastating. In 2 Corinthians 13, in your New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 13, and verse number 5, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Examine yourself, Christian. Are you in the faith, Christian? You see, when Christians don't examine themselves to be in the faith, or if we have the courage to do that, and what we see is, well, we've got some little leaks. We've got some little issues. But we ignore those, and we press on, and we say, oh, we'll deal with that later. We'll bring ourselves to ruin. Let me give you some examples of this. Here's some things to think about and take with you. Let me ask you this. In fact, I'm going to give you three areas here. And the first is the area of spiritual disciplines. Are spiritual disciplines little leaks in your life? Is it the spiritual discipline? I think I could talk to about any of you in the room and you would say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. And I know I ought to be reading the Bible. Like every day, I should be in the Word. I should be reading the Bible. Or I should pray. And I should talk to God. And I should be doing that. But then when we look in the mirror and we really ask ourselves some hard questions, we find those are the kinds of things, those are the kind of disciplines that it's easy to get a little lazy and let it slip, let it slide. And I want to tell you, we're going to talk about a couple of these disciplines, particularly prayer and Bible reading. They are absolutely catalysts to your faith. You want a stronger faith? You want a growing discipleship? You want to have a deeper relationship with the Lord? These things are essential. And yet, what will happen is, you know, around New Year's, we'll say, I'm going to make a resolution. This year, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Or we have a time where, you know, the preacher's kind of talking about the importance of these spiritual disciplines. And we say, drawing the line in the sand, putting the stake out in the yard. I'm getting recommitted. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it today. And then we realize we just let it go again. We just let it go again. What kind of things are we letting go in? Well, how about prayer? Okay? And daily prayer. Daily prayer. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we come to the Word of God there. In fact, verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. How is your prayer life? How often do you pray? What sorts of things do you pray about? I know as a new Christian, this is one of those things that feels weird when you get started. You believe in God and you know God's done something for you. And yet developing the habit, even comfort with talking out loud when maybe no one's in the room, it is something you kind of have to learn to do. That's one of those things, if you're blessed to grow up in a Christian home, you kind of take it for granted because mom and dad taught you. Of course we pray before we eat, and of course we pray when we go to bed, of course we pray when we need God. But if you're new to the faith, you're new to prayer. And this is important communication, that you speak to God about what's going on in your heart. And if it's sin there that you realize, then you confess that in prayer. And if it struggles, then you ask for strength and for His power. But what we have to learn, and as a spiritual discipline, because we're disciples, is that prayer is not plan B. That our talking to God is not only when we're so in trouble, all right? It's like the fellow that went to the doctors, and the ambulance had to come and had to take him away. And the doctor came in and said, well, you know, you've got a condition with your heart, and we're not looking at it. We're looking at it right now, but we're not exactly sure what we ought to do. If you're a man of faith, I would encourage you to pray. And he said, oh, no, has it come to that? I'm afraid that's our attitude about prayer. Only after the doctors have said, I don't know. Well, now we're people of prayer. It ought not to be that way. Pray without ceasing. We're people of prayer. We don't need to let this go. Daily Bible reading. Daily Bible reading. What are you reading about right now? You know what's so great, and particularly if you're a guest today, you can open up that program and see that there's a schedule of daily Bible reading every day of the week. And we're going through the Bible together as a church. And what a powerful tool that is to begin. But even if you're not going to be on that track per se, what are you reading in the Bible? That's a great question for a Christian to ask another Christian. And it ought not be a gotcha question. It feels like one this morning, I know. But it ought not be. Because if we're in the Word, then there's something we are reading about and learning about. We can be telling another. I'm learning this about God. I'm reading this about the Bible. In the Bible, it's bringing up these questions. Let me ask you about this one. How about the little leaks of commitments to the Lord or to a brethren? Do we let those things slide? You know, in the first century, the Hebrew epistle in Hebrews chapter 10, we find that Christians had actually gotten out of the habit, well, we say that, of assembling together. I'm going to talk about that for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Hebrews 10 verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What is your attitude in your heart about assembling with the saints? Do you see this as part of being a disciple? The disciples are those who honor God, and as Brother Chris prayed this morning, honor God collectively. We assemble to do that. And did you catch what had happened to those first century saints? We like to say, well, I've kind of gotten out of the habit of assembling with the church. What Hebrews 10 verse 25 says is they're in a whole new habit. They got a whole new habit, as is the habit of some. What's their habit? Well, they forsake the assembly. They're not there. They're not a part of the faith and really a part of the congregation. And so it's like, now their habit is, if I've got another priority or I've got something else to be, I'm going to be there. And then, you know, once every 6 weeks or whatever, then I'll show up at services. And people are just so happy to see them, you know. But there's a real habit problem here, a discipline problem, that it's become a low priority to assemble with the saints and to worship God. But it is important. It needs to be a top priority, so that we stir up love and good works in one another. How about this one? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 2, we learn about how we are to give on the first day of the week. And in just a couple of moments here, we're going to pass the baskets around and do that collection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And so he taught the churches of Galatia, which is a whole province, a whole state area, how to give on the first day of the week. He says, "I'm telling you the same thing also." But what I want to key in on is this idea in verse 2 of giving as prospered. And how even giving as prospered can be a little leak. 5 or 6 years ago, you got the job, you got settled a little bit, and we're giving to God, and we're giving cheerfully. But as time has passed, did you move up? As time has passed, as you transition to another job, as time has passed, has your financial situation changed? Well, did the giving change? Did the cheerful giving change? Or had we kind of forgot all about that because we put God in the budget, a decade ago, and we've never revisited it? That can be a little leak. God's still being good to us and prospering us, but we kind of let it slide and get a little lazy about giving back to Him. Daily prayer, daily Bible reading, functioning in the local church together. These are things that can become little leaks. Let me give you another area. Are there little leaks in your close relationships? In your close relationships. For instance, in your marriage. A paragraph, in Ephesians chapter 5. Given to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit, is capped off with these words. Ephesians 5 verse 33. "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband." Here is a lesson here about kind of a lazy attitude. About being neglectful. About being forgetful. About letting things slide. I don't suppose we ever get lazy with our spouse, do we? I don't suppose we ever get forgetful about their needs, do we? I don't suppose we ever just feel like, we're kind of tired and don't want to deal with them for a while. I don't suppose we ever take our spouse for granted, do we? I'm afraid we might. There can be a lack of communication between spouses. Because it's the end of the day, and I worked, and she worked, and the kids wore us out, and we're just tired. And we're just kind of too tired to talk and share what's going on in our hearts. Or we've been married for a while now, and we're like, there's some stuff that's bothering me, but I don't feel like picking a fight. And I don't feel like getting into it. And so we just let it go. And it's not that we're lying to our spouse. It's just that we're not saying anything at all. And things are leaking in the home. We get so busy, we're not taking time for each other. We're not being attentive to one another. We're not heeding simple requests made by one another. And what it boils down to is a husband's not loving his wife as he would himself. A wife is not giving respect to her husband. And that can be mutual neglect. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I want you to look in your marriage. Do you have some little leaks? How about when raising those kids and parenting? Can there be some little leaks with the kids? Why, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Sometimes it's a real temptation for parents to get lazy with those kids. There's a real temptation to take the kids for granted. Well, I've got 3, and they're 10, and they're 7, and they're 4. And they're growing up quick. And, no matter if I'm out of town or with them, well, they're not going to stop growing up, are they? And if I'm on the phone and I'm letting the TV kind of raise them, they're not going to stop growing up, are they? And if I'm too busy with, daddy's things, when they're having issues at school or some of their friends, what have you, they're not going to stop growing up. And if I'm putting all of the weight on the preachers or the Bible class teachers to teach them about God and to instill the faith in them or help them to learn something about the Bible, those things are all good helps to parents, but who has responsibility to raise the children in the training and admonition of the Lord? Whose responsibility is it? The father? Godly parents? You bet. And if we're not making that a priority in raising our children, it's probably some little leaks. There's probably some little leaks there. We need to be teaching them the way of God. So we've talked about personal discipline. We've talked about in important relationships. Let me give you one third area and the lesson will be yours. Are there little leaks in your life in the form of, you know, little sins? I'm using that language accommodatively, but I think when I say the little sins, you probably know what I'm talking about. You might have your own list. The ones that God doesn't care as much about. Your Bible's open to Ephesians for us, because we were talking about marriage, talking about kids. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. And the scripture says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Maybe we tell a little lie now and then. And we say, well, a little lie, that doesn't really matter. That doesn't really matter. And then so we cheat a little bit at school on some exams. Or we want to cut corners a little bit with our work. Maybe fudge a couple of numbers on reports we're turning in with the bosses. And it's dishonesty, but it's a little bit dishonesty. It's just business. And what's it really going to cost? Well, I'll tell you, it costs you dearly. In the end, it costs your integrity. No one's going to trust you. In the end, it can cost your soul. This is a sin and an affront to God Almighty, who is truth, who speaks truth. His people must speak truth. But we'll justify this. It's a little thing. It's just little lies. I'll tell you what, there's a huge cost later on. A little cursing, a little profanity. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You say, well, I mean, I'm a person with a temper. What can I do? Well, I mean, I have to drive in Tampa. What am I going to do? And we're so mad. And the words start coming out. And who's going to care, you know? So those people at work need to know that when I speak, I need business. And so if I add the Lord's name on the end, they'll know I mean business. If I say something about somebody's mother, they're going to know I mean business. And that ought not to be. Sometimes when we're talking with our friends, not our enemies, our friends, we got a bad habit of being sarcastic and cutting. And then we want to take it back real quick. Nah, I'm just kidding. Nah, I'm just playing. It ought not be that way. Because that's not building up speech. That's not imparting grace speech. We need to think about our language. You say, well, does anyone even listen to the words I say? Does anyone even care? What's it cost? It will cost your influence among people that you're trying to win for Christ. It will cost. For it pollutes a spring that the Lord intends for His blessing. That's what our speech is supposed to be. A blessing unto the Lord. And we sin against God. How about a little lust? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Let it not even be named among you. That means just keep it covered up and nobody ever knows what's going on. That's not what that means now. Come on. That means that there's no hint of it. No hint of it. That's what that means. And sometimes we get caught up looking at pornography. We're going to places. We're going out to clubs or we're going to dances or where have you. To try to meet some people to incite lust. Sometimes we're just trying to create situations where some lustful things can occur. And we say, well, what's it matter? You know, we're young. Well, who really cares? We're red-blooded, and that's the way people behave. Third date rule. We know what happens on third dates in our society. Little leaks. And what will it cost? It will cost you your purity. It will cost you the clarity in your mind. For you will not see people anymore as God sees them. As precious souls in need of redemption from Christ, you will see them as objects. No more. Little leaks. Little leaks. Little drinking. Little intoxication. Little partying. In Ephesians 5 verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And we say, well, you know, I love to go out with my friends to the bars on Friday night. We work hard all week, and so we're going to play hard too. What's it going to cost? Well, you know, I'm one of these really good Christians. I don't get drunk. I'm just drinking. What's it going to cost? Who cares? It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. And we don't appreciate how, again, it costs our influence. Why should the world listen to your word about Christ or be any interested in your life in Christ when you act and live just like the world? I don't know why they would. It may cost you, well, your health, perhaps your freedom, depending on what kind of completely foolish thing you do while you're intoxicated. At least you lose your driver's license. There are some real costs to being lazy and not addressing little sins in our life when the Word of God brings these things to our attention. Don't excuse these things. Don't live with these things. Don't justify these things. Don't get comfortable with these things. Thinking they don't add up, it's never going to matter. Rather, take the initiative to repent. Take the initiative this morning to pay some cost to restore, to repair the little leaks today. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't put it off another day. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't put it off another minute. The costs can be devastating when we get comfortable living with little leaks. If you want to put away your interactive outline and your Bible right now, that's fine. We're going to sing a song of encouragement together in just a moment. Hang on to that paper. The flip side of that paper is our outline for the lesson tonight. So hang on to that paper. No more laziness. No more apathy. No more kidding ourselves, deceiving ourselves, that if we're neglectful about our personal discipleship, it doesn't matter. If we're neglectful about our homes that God has blessed us with, our spouse, our children, that doesn't matter. There's time for that later. If we're neglectful about the repentance that sin and wickedness calls for in our life, well, it'll be time for that later. No more. We think about, well, if I ask for prayer today, that might be difficult. If I start to address some of these issues with a wife, it might be difficult. I'm going to tell you, it's more difficult later when you don't. When you don't realize there's been a little leak going on in that bathtub for 15 years. And you're down there looking at the floor, Joyce, thinking, I better not take another shower. I'm going to come through the floor. That could be the day of judgment with the Lord, friend. The good news of the gospel is it doesn't have to be at all. There's power of reconciliation, of rebirth, of new beginning. We can repair. We can restore. God can make it whole if we'll be obedient to His word and the gospel. And maybe there's someone here this morning who's ready to give their life to Him. To have sins forgiven, to be made whole, and those initial steps of faith and obedience to the gospel. Are you ready to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Will you repent, make change in your life to follow the Word of God? Will you be baptized this morning, immersed in water to have your sins washed away? We want to help you to do that. In fact, we're here to minister to any spiritual need. And so if you need to become a Christian, or if you're here this morning as one who is a Christian, but there's little leaks in your life, and you'd like to pray, have prayer for encouragement, for restoration, whatever that need might be, we're here now to serve you. I'm here, Edwin's here, you just come on forward now. Whatever that spiritual need is, come forward now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?